Our next guest probably knew nothing about winter tires when he first came to Edmonton. He is now the GM of the Eskimos. Ed Hervey joins us. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jay?
Good. Yeah, you never had winter tires ever in your life before you moved here, did you?
I still don't.
Yeah.
Too much trouble to change them.
Well, hopefully you're not wearing low-rim summer tires on your vehicle right now.
No, I spend so much time at the office, there's not a lot of driving between me and the house right now. So.
Now, Ed, your organization, pretty hefty fine recently for not doing the mic'd up thing. Can you give me your thoughts on that as an organization? And is there a plan? Will you guys have to wear them in one of your final three games?
I mean, the league, they gave their fine. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate, for Jay, because I think what's lost in this for Jason is that, you know, he had anxieties 3-4 nights where he didn't really sleep all that well. And when he and I talked about it days leading up to it, you know, I said, it's in your hands. It says, I'm not going to force you to do it because I really don't care. And, he didn't feel good about it. You know, he just didn't feel good. He didn't sleep the night before the game. And, he had very valid points that really people don't really get a chance to hear, so I'm going to share them with you. Right. So, you know, when he got the job, he wasn't even comfortable with the fact that being a head coach, you had to be mic'd, but at least that was going to be edited. And then when all of a sudden it came up that it was going to be a live mic that was decided in, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, he didn't feel good about it. And it's amazing how we don't really care so much about a person's anxieties in it. And I think what I saw was what everyone else didn't get a chance to see was how it affected him. And I didn't want it affecting him as he called plays, and it seemed like it was going to affect him in every which way. So, you know, ultimately he made his call and he's got to live with the consequences of it. But, you know, I want to make it very clear, you know, from my standpoint, I admire what he did. He showed guts because he didn't feel good about it. And, hey, what, right or wrong, he knew that it was a mandate. But, you know, again, he felt that he wasn't going to be able to call the game the way he felt he could as an offensive coordinator. And he chose to do what's best for his team, the team, in calling the plays and trying to win a game that we needed rather than appeasing what was in front of him. So, you know, people can criticize him for what they want and say he did this and said he did that. I know the truth behind the matter. And the fact of the matter is that he had anxieties. You know, we all know Jason's a very passionate person about what he does. He's very passionate about his offense. And the fact of the matter is that he was extremely uncomfortable. And, you know, I hear people saying, well, if this coach could do it and that coach could do it, you know, a lot of people don't mind it. You know, some people just don't. You know, you go on a high dive, you know, tell somebody to go jump off a high dive into a 12-foot pool. Not everybody's comfortable with doing that. It looks fun when everyone else is doing it until you get up there. And so he made the call right before the game to not do it. And that's what we're living with. And but, you know, we should be focusing on moving forward. And whatever the league forces him to do, I mean, he, when that time comes, you know, he'll deal with it at that time. But right now, you know, we're fine. There's a fine, and it is what it is. But, you know, I don't want people dumping on Jason Moss and feeling like he's being abandoned by me and football, because he's not. And, I think, like I said earlier, I think what he did showed a lot of guts, that he went out there knowing there was going to be consequences to it, but still chose to choose his comfort level and calling his offense over being uncomfortable and taking what was an important game for this organization and just kind of rolling the dice with it.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Edmonton Eskimos, joined us. Ed, and that makes sense. The live mic definitely is a lot different than having it taped and then replaying it back, so I can understand that for sure. Now, has the league, because I know Toronto was the only team, because everybody plays games where both teams do it at the same time, they weren't scheduled to do it, and I know you're scheduled to play them the final game of the season. Has the league reached out to you guys and suggested that game will be live mic'd, or is it something that won't happen the rest of the season?
I don't know. I don't really talk to the league that much.
Okay. Are you expecting them to do it in the final regular season game?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I mean, me and Jay discussed that too. I mean, if they do, I'm going to make myself head coach on that game, and I'll put the mic on so he can be comfortable.
So then he would call. Well, I guess that's true, because is it the mic's supposed to be on the head coach, not the offensive coordinator, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, I guess that would be – so you could be the head coach for one game and he could be the OC.
Yeah, then I'll stand on the other side of the offense and just kind of meander around or whatever. No, I mean, you know what, I'm poking fun at it, but the reality is that, you know, whatever they choose to do, they choose to do. But, you know, right now we're not focused on Toronto. We're focused on – and everybody's getting rest right now. We're focused on the opponent that's coming up, and that's the BC Lions. And you know, we're focused on finishing strong. And you know, I was talking with Jason, you know, a couple of days ago, and told him go home and get some rest, and you know, don't get caught up in what goes on and the negativity that comes out of this. Focus on the positives. We have 3 games left in the regular season, and you know, just focus on continuing to do a great job of coaching this team. And you know, if the time comes where the league chooses to mandate the live mic for the last game to prove a point, then I mean, you know, we'll deal with it at that time.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, last season your team got on a real roll and rolled right to the Grey Cup. I know it's hard to manufacture the exact same thing, but your team was on the brink of, you know, being completely out of the Western Division playoffs and looking at a crossover, and now it's pretty much guaranteed a crossover, and a win against BC puts you right back in the West playoff picture for sure. What's been the difference from your vantage point the last 3 weeks from your team?
I mean, I think every week the team has continued to improve. And the penalties have gone down. You look at the, you know, all phases. And guys have been responsible and accountable for what their assignments have been. And, I mean, we're just getting, you know, guys are making timely plays, and people aren't making mistakes, inexperienced mistakes like we were making early in the season. You know, the season is a marathon for all teams. And as we're finding out with our team, as everyone's getting more comfortable with one another, and the consistency of knowing where to be and understanding what they're seeing and what the calls are, and recognizing patterns from the defensive side and recognizing defenses from the offensive side, you're just seeing that guys are the team, the players are slowly starting to get more comfortable and confident in what they're being asked to do. And, you know, with that confidence, you know, everyone tends to play well, and you find ways to win games. But what I'm most proud of is the low amount of penalties over the last couple of games. You know, we're playing very disciplined football, and you know, when you can do that, you put yourself in great position to win games. And so far, they've done that, but we still have a lot of football left.
How are you health-wise for your team?
We're about as healthy as every other team is at this point. Everyone, there's not one team in this league that has everyone healthy that they started with. You know, we have guys that are banged up. We have guys that are playing through ailments and injuries and things like that. But they're battling. We're not going to use injuries as an excuse. And you know, guys that are able to play and available to us, you know, we'll play with those guys. I think we played with the majority of the guys on our roster at one time or another. So we have experienced players that have played. And as far as the injuries are concerned, we're getting healthier. This bye week is, is helping guys lick their wounds a bit. And, we're looking forward to getting back at it next week.
Guys like Kelvin McCarty and Corey Watson, are you expecting them to be ready for the playoffs?
I don't expect Calvin to be back.
Okay.
I mean, Corey, very strong chance he could be back. But we have to, to monitor him and wait and see. You don't want to rush anyone back. But if Corey is able to come back, he obviously improves what we're doing, and he's a player that we'd love to have out there, but we want him to be 100% ready to go when he is healthy. But I think he has a greater chance of being out there before Calvin does.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us bye week, and then they are back at it for the final three games of the season, two of those on the road, and then wrap up their home season on a Saturday afternoon game, first weekend of November here against the Toronto Argonauts. Ed, the one big difference really in your team lately has been the success of the running attack. Is it simply just more of a commitment to the run game? Is it better blocking? What have you seen change to have such a more vaunted running game?
Well, again, it starts up front with our offensive line. I mean, those guys are creating the holes for the running game, regardless of which running back is back there. And I think Jason, calls a great game. I mean, he commits to it and he calls it when it's there, and which is we've been able to have success running the football. And you got to give John and the running backs credit for being able to execute. When they're called upon to run the football, they're getting yards, but they're also getting yards after contact, and they're holding on to the football. And typically in football, in all football, when you have success early in the run game, coaches tend to call it more because they feel comfortable with it. And coaches, when the running game doesn't seem like it's effective, coaches at times tend to go away from it. But I think Jason has done a fantastic job of mixing it in from time to time with the passing attack. And then when we have been able to run the ball, we've had success with it, which makes it easy to go back to.
Ed Hervey joins us, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos. And, Ed, last year you had the bye week, the final week of the season, after, I think, a string of 17 games straight, and it didn't impact you. Did the bye week come at a good time for this team right now, or would you have rather kept playing?
I think, I was talking about that this morning. I don't know any team that doesn't appreciate the bye week, just because of the physical nature of the sport that we play, and the injuries and the bumps and bruises that the players have. It gives everybody an opportunity to rest a bit. Some get to go home. The bye week for this team, whether we play this week or not, I think you're going to take your bye week because it's been a long stretch between our last bye, and I think that this is for this season and for this group and for where we are as far as healthy bodies that are out there. This bye comes at the right time for this football team, and hopefully they're getting lots of rest and getting their minds prepared for this final run, and looking forward to seeing everyone come back with fresh legs and excited about the finish.
And one last one, I want to circle back to the fine and everything for the league. When Jason has expressed his concern and anxiety over it, did you guys talk to the league at all about it? Did you offer to say, hey, is there any chance we cannot do it? Was that ever discussed beforehand or no?
Yeah, all that stuff was discussed beforehand. It was all discussed, but, again, when we had the conversation about it, I left it in left it in Jay's hands, and he met with the league a couple of more times, but I told him several days before the game, whatever you choose to do, you choose to do. I understand both sides, but when I sit there and I talk with Jay and I hear the human side of it, not so much the marketing side of what was expressed by everyone else, it was the human side. And when the person says that they're not sleeping and, they're having anxiety over it, yeah, I can see that, why he was apprehensive. And then, on game day came, he made the call. I'm like, we weren't aware one way or another what he was going to do. And quite frankly, I wasn't interested in knowing. I didn't approach him before the game. I don't talk to the coaches before the game, and I wasn't going to go ask him, what are you going to do? My focus was, we want to win this game, and I want him comfortable, and he needed to be comfortable. So, if anyone is really upset with Jason Moss because he chose to feel a level of comfort in coaching the game, an important game for this organization, then, you know, they're not supporting him. And as far as, you know, the mandate that comes down with it and all that stuff, yes, we all understand that, and that's part of it. And there was a consequence and, a penalty to be paid for that. And Jason paid the price for that. So he understands the discipline behind it, and his level of comfort still has not changed from that. And, you know, Jason wasn't defiant in the fact that he was just kind of brushing it off and just saying, to hell with it. You know, this man had true anxieties about this live mic that just all of a sudden appeared over the last month. And that's where his anxieties started and finished. And that's where it is. And I'm sure he may or may not talk about it. I've asked him to kind of move on from it when he gets back to the, when I get back on the field, just so we can get back to focusing on finishing. And but I felt like, as his friend and having opportunity to talk with him about it, and he knows that I was going to mention some aspects of how he felt. But I mean, Jason, you know me a long time. When it comes to certain things, you know, sometimes we can be a bit abrasive, and you know, if we were going to do something deliberate, you would have known ahead of time, not after the fact. But in this case here, you know, Jason actually gave it serious thought. He gave it serious thought. He just didn't feel comfortable doing it and didn't feel that he would be able to call the kind of game that he had been calling all year. He just felt uncomfortable, you know, and that's that. So, you know, for all those who are on his case, you know, think about that for a moment rather than pointing the finger and saying that he's being defiant and snubbing the broadcaster and the league. It's just unfortunate that it comes across that way. But the fact of the matter is, this was real-life human anxiety that just when the decision came, he just opted to feel comfortable calling the game.
Ed, I appreciate your honesty on the topic. Enjoy the bye week and enjoy the snow in your non-winter tires and get home safe.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever enjoy the snow, Jay. You know that.
Oh, Ed, you've never had a snowball fight, man, and build some snowmen. Trust me, good times.
Hey, and you know what I'm also looking for before we go? I'm actually, my Dodgers are in the...
Yeah.
So we may end up having one of those series, man.
Dodgers against the Jays, maybe.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Dodgers. I love the Dodgers. It's been a long time since we've been excited about the Dodgers in Los Angeles. In the last several years, they've shown some consistency, but we like to now get to the World Series and see what we can do. Right?
Well, you must have been one of the millions who then grew up listening to Vin Scully.
Yes, I was, and he's going to be missed on the radio. I mean, he's an icon. I don't think you hear those kind of radio voices anymore. A guy who can actually call a game on his own from start to finish. He was a pleasure to listen to, and you always knew what was happening in the game, even when you listened to it on the radio. He just painted a picture that was unlike any other.
Oh, he was amazing up until just this year. It's incredible what he could do. His ability to just intertwine a story during the play was also fantastic.
Oh yeah, no question. You almost felt like you knew who those players were that he was talking about, but some of those guys, you're like, yeah, that. And he would talk about somebody from 1965 that you'd never seen play, but after you listened to Vin Scully enough, you felt like you had a personal relationship with the people that he was talking about. That's how good he was. So he's going to be missed, and my hope is that the Dodgers can win the World Series for him, and we can celebrate that.
Ed, I appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
No problem. Thank you, James.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos.